This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
Well, good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lante. Derek Piper's in the house, as is Trevor Valise, who is working with our water issue out here. We have a water, what do you call that, a cooler? Stevie provides us to get fresh water during the show.
The old water cooler?
The water cooler. And for some reason, the water's hot. So Trevor had to get in, and I think he fixed it. So he's excited about that. All right, I'm 50. I don't feel any different than I did at 49.
You look more tan.
I do look a little more tan. Great trip. Weather was great down at St. Pete Beach. Just kind of chilled out. And stayed in Clearwater one night, then St. Pete Beach three nights, just chilled and relaxed, sat on the beach, sat by the pool, took some walks. I'm my Brad Underwood. He looks great. The pictures I saw from Media Day were, he has lost weight. Yeah. He looks really good and he's ready to go. So that's the challenge for all of us.
Gotcha.
Because Brad Underwood, I don't think Brad would get mad if I said this, but he and I are kind of like, he's not now, but we were both kind of that 10 pounds overweight kind of, 10 or 15, and he walked it off, and now it's my turn. So good job, Brad Underwood. Now he's challenging the rest of us probably to walk it off. So,
how many tweets did you have to delete late in the night of your 50th?
I stayed away from the most part from my phone. I sent out one tweet, I think, and one Facebook post, and then I put my phone away and just enjoyed
you.
The day. So I said, I am not going to spend my 50th on this phone. I can promise you that. Great trip, though, and I'm glad to be back. Flew back into Indy today and got home, took a little 30-minute nap. So now I'm refreshed, ready to watch baseball all day and all night. And ready to go. And Derek, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, including a game time for game one of the Illini football season. And, of course, Media Day happened, I believe, right, in basketball. Were you part of that, or is that just pictures?
Just pictures.
Okay.
The first practice will be Wednesday, and we will have a Zoom with Brad Underwood on Wednesday. So
okay.
I'm sure we'll get some audio for that. And, yeah, official practice started in this week, and what are we, I think I saw today, 44 days away?
Is that what it is?
From the college hoop season, and of course, less than 2 weeks away from college football, at least Big Ten football in Illinois, starting in Madison.
Starting in Madison and starting on a Friday, we're doing this again, another Friday. I guess the good news in the state of Illinois, it's not going to interfere. It's not good news, but you know what I mean. There's no high school football games going on to interfere, so people will be able to watch the game, but it'll be Friday night. And it'll be kicked off at 7:00 at night. So under the lights with no fans, essentially, in Madison, Wisconsin, to start the season. That's kind of exciting. I love, especially when it's at Memorial Stadium and when Illinois has night games. There is, I've said it before, and I know everybody probably feels the same. There's a certain magic to it where you're under the lights and it just feels like a bigger game. And certainly this will be a big game for Illinois to start their season.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. There is that different feel, especially to have a standalone game where there's nothing really else. Maybe there's a baseball game on that night, but to have Illinois be the game or one of the games in college football. Now, I'll also give you this angle. In a state where there are no Friday night lights, it's nice to have one for your college football team that it's going to start up. So that's going to be exciting. And yeah, to have it on a Friday night and open it up and then come back in Halloween.
Let's go.
Let's get it going. There's nothing else to really say about it.
I totally agree. Let's get it rolling.
Ruined for me.
Why is that?
The Illinois Magic, because the first one I specifically remember was Louisiana Tech, where they lost like 45-17. Then I came back the next year, and I believe it was Nebraska, and they lost 28-3.
Levy is 0-3, I think, on Friday night games. On Friday
State,
games.
Nebraska, and then...
It was a non-con. It was a non-conference game they lost, that third one.
Really?
They had
Western Kentucky in primetime, but they won that game.
Now, I don't remember who it was, but I could swear I saw a tweet today that said that, and I don't remember who the third team was. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll get it going, and I cannot wait.
I like this part of it. We get to do essentially a pregame show leading up to it. That Friday will be fun.
USF on the road.
USF.
Remember that was the standalone Friday night game after the hurricane.
Was that was at Soldier, right?
No, I'm talking about the first one.
Oh, okay.
And then the second one was at Soldier.
Got it.
And I sat next to Andrew Tay.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's right.
Insufferable. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the game or Andrew or both? Probably both.
Both.
Yeah, on that end. Exactly. All right. So a lot to talk about today, including the Los Angeles Lakers NBA championship. LeBron gets his fourth ring. It is amazing that last year he essentially was out, right, with injury. Is that what it was? And the Lakers didn't even make the playoffs. And now this year, he's back, and so are the Lakers, and they won a title, their fourth. I mean, a pretty amazing ending to what was an amazing job and I'll throw in the NHL as well, the NHL and NBA both getting in their bubble and making it work, Derek. And I know a lot should be commended to both of those leagues, and the NBA certainly finished it up, and LeBron gets number four.
Yeah,
pretty impressive.
How about that? I know it had more drama to it than maybe you would have expected. Not that when it goes to game six, you expect the Lakers to lose it. Game five was an epic one.
I don't know
if you got a chance to see
that.
But Jimmy Butler played our guy now going forward. He's not still, but played out of his mind.
It was
and
crazy.
Him and LeBron going back and forth. That was really, really entertaining basketball. I know that it didn't have the matchup. I mentioned it before. You didn't have the Lakers-Clippers in the Western Conference Finals that we all were hoping for. Maybe even in the finals to have the Bucks against Giannis or against the Celtics. But, I love the do-it-for-Kobe angle.
Really, amen.
It lined up perfectly as far as narrative. Not saying, obviously, the tragic death of Kobe, but after that, to dedicate their season, and then you go into a historic pandemic, you had the last dance to really rekindle.
Good call.
That GOAT argument. And here's one thing. I have the eye roll today. I'm sure a lot of people do, too. You knew it was coming. The Lakers are going to win, and it's going to be, let's revisit the GOAT. Mm. Here's why the arguments change. Here's why LeBron is it. And I'm just like, okay, we knew this was coming. But, it was meant to be. And LeBron sitting in the press conference last night with a cigar. Like, we saw all those videos and clips of Jordan doing the same thing. And, let's be honest, he's ridiculous to watch.
He's incredible.
Not my favorite.
Right.
But he's ridiculous.
I mean, he's just, when you watch and how big he is and what he does, that's the thing that always just blows my mind. And I know, like Magic Johnson, I've said this before, Magic was the first guy to really come in and just, like at 6'9", he was a point guard. And then in his rookie year, he played center in the NBA Finals and won the championship when he had to go down and play center because Kareem was hurt. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a guy that's a 6'9 point guard. And now you see guys, you know, that's the norm now, it seems. And a guy like LeBron that just, when he wants to score, he scores. And you can say what you want about getting calls and such. I've watched plenty of games where I'm like, yeah, he definitely gets calls. But that doesn't take away from his greatness. And it was an unbelievable run by the Lakers. And, of course, as you mentioned, on the heels, of course, of the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. And LeBron talked about that after the game.
If we weren't already as close as we thought we can be, that made us even closer. That brought us even closer. Our ball club, we got as close as you possibly can be when that moment happened. And obviously we know it brought the whole basketball world close as well. But when you're internal and it hits home, it just means that much more. And we locked in from that very moment. and saying this is bigger than us. This is bigger than us.
It was strange, and that's a cool quote from LeBron James about Kobe Bryant and what Kobe meant. I know for you, he was one of your favorite players, and you know, I grew up more of the Jordan era. Even a little bit before that, I was more of the Dr. J, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson era. You were more of a little bit of the Jordan and Major Kobe. And now, of course, you've got Bron doing his thing. But pretty cool, the respect that everybody showed for Kobe and certainly deserved.
Yeah, 100%. And it's really cool to see the crossover between. And it really started, like you said, back with Dr. J and, you know, Magic and Larry, and that was a big influence on Michael. And then yep. Michael comes in, and it's just the passing of the torch. And watching The Last Dance, where, you know, MJ's trash talking Kobe a little bit. Who's this new guy, this new kid trying to be me? And there was the pushback, like, I don't want that. But then obviously later on in their life, there's just a mutual respect, and how many of those like 3 a.m. phone calls they had with each awesome. Other. And then it went right into LeBron. And a day or two before Kobe passed away, you saw Kobe sitting on the sidelines at Staples Center, you know, dapping up LeBron, and Gigi's right. there. So, yeah, it's really cool to see just the respect factor there. And look, again, I'm someone that's I consider myself a Jordan lifer because I was like 6 years old with the Jordan jersey. But then, yeah, I watched a lot of Kobe. That was kind of my growing up days, right. really a lot of what I remember. But you got to respect the game that LeBron has. Like you said, I mean, he's a freight train going down the lane.
It's incredible.
His versatility. He has more triple-doubles in the finals than Magic Johnson does. He has 11. He had one last night. Magic has 8. So just his overall passing, just everything that he can do, the defensive plays he makes, he's a darn near close piecing together of a basketball player.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of everything you need.
Right.
To be that. I mean, and we laugh about it before. I know we've talked about it before, but LeBron James would be probably an incredible linebacker. Or, you know, he's, you know, Puig, essentially, in baseball. Right. I mean, you know, I know Puig hasn't had the incredible career, don't get me wrong, like LeBron has in basketball, but you just feel like, basketball. LeBron, you just feel like he could play any sport and be really good at it. The other thing is the Lakers on top again, and it's been a long time. And for somebody like me that grew up basically watching the Lakers and Celtics fight it out every time for an NBA title, and then you slowly evolved, then, you know, you had the run with the Bulls, of course, and some others in there, Golden State. I know I'm missing a bunch. I don't want to go through them all. But now you get the Lakers back on top, and that's one thing that the NBA, I know probably for some that don't like the Lakers or me that hates the Celtics, those two teams, though, when they're good, the NBA is good. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's why a little bit of me wanted to see a Celtics-Lakers battle just for the tradition of it.
Yeah, that's right.
But certainly Miami. And let's give a little credit to Miami, or a lot. It's amazing. Were they the fifth seed?
Four or five.
Four
yeah,
or five?
They were in that 4-5.
And they made it to the finals. And Jimmy Butler, you're right, our guy, was just uncanny. He was great in that in those series.
Tyler Hero's a rookie.
Yes. How good is he going to be?
Kendrick Nunn even showed up. I know that he didn't play a lot in the playoffs, but in the finals, he had a couple of good games where he put up some big numbers. Duncan Robinson hitting threes. Bam Adebayo, one of the best young bigs in the league.
The NBA's healthy, isn't it?
It's healthy, and to your point, it's very healthy when a team like the Lakers is that strong. Now I'd be really interested in when KD comes back healthy,
right.
Him and Kyrie with Brooklyn. I mean, it's got the star power. I know that some people don't like the league. Me and you both would much rather watch college basketball.
Sure.
But
there's no doubt.
You can't knock it for its conversation points.
It's incredible.
The arguments that you can have between stars. And yeah, watching some pretty darn good basketball, which I watched a lot of it. And for the most part, other than LeBron complaining for a couple of calls, I really enjoyed it.
Well, and maybe he's earned that, right? That's what we'll say. He's earned that right to do it. So the Lakers win their NBA title, and that is number 4 now for LeBron James. Of course, Jordan was 6, but certainly, I don't know. I mean, if LeBron's back again and ready to roll next year, I don't know why they wouldn't be the favorite.
He will be. One note that I saw, and this is kind of cool, LeBron wins his 4th Finals MVP. Look, anytime that he's going to win one, he's going to win the Finals MVP. But he's 35 years old, same age as Jordan's last one in 98.
Ooh.
So that almost gives you a little bit of perspective as to say, of course, Jordan was towards maybe he was still in his prime when he retired. He had a couple more years left in him. But it kind of gives you an idea of, okay, we got a couple more years left with LeBron. Maybe even if you don't like him or you're a Jordan guy or a Kobe guy or whatever, just appreciate what you're watching.
Amen.
So that there might not be a ton of that left.
Amen. And, you know, it's so hard to compare eras, right? I mean, athletes continuously get bigger and stronger and better in whatever sport. And it's hard to compare an era, you know, an athlete like LeBron, you know, saying, you know, against Jordan in that era. And you can do it in any sport. I mean, Babe Ruth. Do we know if Babe Ruth would be great right now? Probably. He was incredible as both a pitcher and a hitter. But it just enjoyed that they were the best of their era. And then we can go from there. But, of course, the GOAT conversation is always fun. And it's funny. This is kind of maybe a weak analogy. But when you mentioned the age of what Jordan was and LeBron, it kind of reminds me in golf of Jack Nicklaus winning his final major when he won the Masters at age 46. And I always now wonder about Tiger Woods, you know. And to me, it gives me thought that Tiger could still do some more damage, you know, in majors. So it'll be kind of fun to watch that. And that's something I've always thought in the back of my mind. One last thing, and then we're going to talk a lot of football. And by the way, Trevor, thank you. Lovie Smith, Trayvon Sidney both met with the media today. So Owen Carney did as well. We don't have sound from Owen, but I was reading a tweet from Jeremy Warner, and Owen Carney basically, what was it? He said something like, well, it's time for us to be the bully now. I like that. I like that. And, of course, Illinois could use Owen Carney to come out and show up
absolutely. This
season. That would be huge for this Illinois football team. But you'll, in the second hour, hear from Lovie Smith. You'll hear from Trayvon Sidney. We're going to talk a lot of NFL, including a really horrific injury to a quarterback that is my starting quarterback in fantasy, but no longer, in fact, done for the year with Dak Prescott. Last thing I want to get to in this first segment, Rick Renteria, fired by the White Sox. Where have we seen this before? Where have we seen this script before, and how the White Sox would love for it to play out like it played out for the Chicago Cubs when Rick Renteria was kind of the manager, not kind of, he was the manager of that Cubs team as they were slowly building into a championship team.
Poor guy.
Then they replace him, of course, with Joe Maddon. They go on to win the World Series in Chicago with the Cubs. Now the White Sox have moved on from Rick Renteria. Mark Grody, one of the guys that joins us on the show every once in a while, even tweeted out today that, heck, he may win AL Manager of the Year and be fired.
That's crazy.
In the same year. So the White Sox definitely saying, all right, we feel like we're now on the cusp and we maybe need a better game manager, so they get rid of Rick Renteria. I think they got rid of Don Cooper as well.
Longtime pitching coach.
So that kind of surprised me.
But the thing that I liked the most that made me laugh was that they said that Jerry Reinsdorf's first call was to Ozzie Guillen to tell him that he was not in the running.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, yikes. What? Imagine, like, you're Ozzie Guillen, right? You see the news that Renteria has been let go. Your phone rings, and it says Jerry's calling.
It's like, oh.
You're like, oh. And he says, hey, you were first in my mind. Oh, I was? To let you know that you're not in the running for this
correct
position. Thanks,
Ozzie. I guess when you win him a World Series back in 05, you get the at least courtesy of being told you're not going to be the manager. I don't think you want to go down the Ozzie Guillen path again. Although he was certainly fun for fans, right? I would love to see Ozzie back.
I mean, Arizona, honestly, we love you in the studio. You're great after the games. You make me laugh.
Exactly. So we'll see what the White Sox do. We'll see how quick they jump on a manager.
The question is, do they cheat or not? Not cheat with the hiring, but do they go with a cheater? In A.J. Hinch or Cora,
that's
or do
right
they go somewhere else?
Okay, because A.J. Hinch is a guy certainly that should be high on their list. Baseball's going on right now. There's the Rays are up 3-0 on Houston in Game 2. The Rays won Game 1. That was fun being down in Tampa when the Rays won that first game. There are a lot of people, you know, let's be honest, a lot of bandwagon Rays fans now. In other words, they're fans now, but certainly years ago they weren't cheering for the Rays.
Scene over here.
Right.
Did you know that Yankees-Rays Game 5 set the record for the highest average pitch velocity in a baseball game?
Really?
It was like 99 point something. Every single person that went in that game threw like 100.
What's it going to be in 10 years? The average velocity will be 108. Maybe not. But that just seems like we're just getting faster and faster. All right, the NFL, the Bears won, by the way.
Thursday. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked since then.
We have not. We had to do some tricks and get a show on the air Friday. So you,
I hope you didn't take a lot of my advice because probably way too much, especially college football. I was like, oh man, Lon picked so many of those right.
I did not know. Oh, I know. And guess what? I didn't get one college football game correct.
You faded yourself?
I faded myself.
Man.
I don't even listen to my own
stuff. I felt so bad. I almost texted you Saturday. Man, I'm sorry.
I really wasn't.
I had a good weekend. Vikings plus 7 was nice to me.
Nice. I did win. I bet big on the Cardinals over the Jets. You guys convinced me to do it. I did it. And the Jets are just horrible. They're just horrible. All right, so when we come back, we're going to recap that Bears game. I know it was Thursday night, but this will be the first time we talk about it. Congrats to you two. You're now 4-1 with the big victory over Tampa Bay.
Look at us.
We'll talk about that, and we'll go through some of the rest of the NFL and what happened yesterday, including an injury for the Cowboys. I guess that's, if you want to say, a stroke of good luck, even though it sounds very mean. The Cardinals now play Dallas on Monday Night Football, so they'll do that without Dak.
So your first two thoughts are, my fantasy team is ruined, yep, and a stroke of good luck for the Cardinals.
Yep, that's exactly what I thought. Okay. And I was like, and actually, I'd forgotten all about the idea that the Cardinals were playing the Cowboys next week. I had it in 2 weeks in my mind, so then I was like, oh, well, I guess that does help a little bit if you're Arizona, not getting Dak Prescott, who was off and running to possibly an MVP season, although he would have had to beat out Russell Wilson, who I think is for certainly locked in for that right now. But Dak Prescott was having a big year. So when we come back, we'll go through the NFL. We'll chat a little bit about that. Next hour, we'll hear from Lovie Smith and Trayvon Sidney. The Illinois football team will open the season on a Friday night in Madison, Wisconsin, 7 p.m. kickoff in Madison. So that should be fun, and I can't wait for that. Like you said, we'll do a little bit of a preview show that day, getting you ready for Illinois and Wisconsin in football. I cannot wait for the Big Ten to start football and for Illinois to start football. I am so ready for that. All right, if you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcast on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at steviej.com, steviejay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
William Hill Sportsbook is now in Illinois, making sports more interesting than ever. Download the William Hill Grand Victoria app to get over 86 years of sports betting experience in the palm of your hand. Sign up today with America's number one sportsbook and get a $300 risk-free bet. Use promo code LIVE300. 21 plus only. Must be physically present in Illinois. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download the app today. William Hill Sportsbook. Let's make it interesting.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable. We are a licensed Amana dealer and are standing by to help you anytime, day or night. Call me, Gina, at 352-5400 or at abcheatingandac.com.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Flora Adams Williams, physician assistant at OSF Healthcare. It's that time of year when we need to get our flu vaccines. Every flu season is different, and influenza infection can affect people differently. An annual seasonal flu vaccine is the best way to help protect against influenza. Some easy steps to protect yourself from getting the flu or COVID-19, as simple as social distancing, wearing your mask, covering your cough, washing your hands with soap and water, or using hand sanitizer. Flu vaccine testing prevents tens of thousands of hospitalizations each year. For example, during the year 2018 and 2019 flu season, the vaccination prevented an estimated 58,000 flu-related hospitalizations. The CDC recommends a vaccine for everyone 6 months and older. Flu shots are available at OSF Medical Group primary care offices and OSF Ergo locations. For more details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Betsy Londrigan is lying to you.
I have not taken any money from Speaker Madigan.
The truth is, Mike Madigan spent nearly $300,000 to elect Londrigan. Londrigan also takes money from corporate lobbyists, even Big Pharma, breaking her promise not to accept corporate dollars. And those negative ads against Rodney Davis? Paid for by corporate cash. A Madigan machine politician, Betsy Londrigan is lying to get elected. There's a better choice. Our Congressman Rodney Davis is taking on the special interests in Washington to get results for us, holding Big Pharma accountable and lowering prescription drug prices, taking on the big insurance companies and protecting those with pre-existing conditions, defending our rural hospitals and our healthcare jobs. Rodney Davis is fighting to ensure that every Illinois family has quality, affordable healthcare.
I'm Rodney Davis. I'm running for Congress and I approve this message.
Paper by Rodney for Congress.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. Trevor noted in... And probably well done that I have a little bit of a case of the Monday voice. Used to get that more often, but in my older days, I don't really, I guess, torture myself to the point where I came in on Mondays without a voice. But I certainly did this weekend.
Are you elderly? Not technically, right?
No, I don't think so. I did get an AARP thing in the mail.
Good magazine. Check it out. Big font and everything for you.
I'm like, this is terrible. Oh, well. Hey, it was fun. What the heck?
I'm done chewing now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, we were laughing because that mic picks up everything. So if you're drinking, if you're eating your combos or whatever you're eating in there.
Wow, way to just.
Yeah, I just called you out.
Way to out the completely unhealthy lunch.
Total, dude. Just totally.
You should have said if you're done eating that cabbage and kale salad in there.
As you're eating lunch at 4:30.
That's the work grind for
you. I get it. I totally get it. All right, it's time to talk a little NFL, and I want to start, of course, with your Bears. All right, boys, I was on the flight down Thursday night during this game, so I exited the plane into Clearwater Airport, turn my phone on, and I get a notification that the Chicago Bears had beaten Tampa Bay. And the next thing I know, as we're getting into our shuttle for the hotel, Andrew looks at me and says, Tom Brady thought it was third down on a fourth down. And I'm like, what? So we finally got to the hotel, and I was able to watch some of the highlights. First of all, we can say, well, DeAndre Swift could have caught a ball for Detroit and that would have been a loss. Or, you're playing the Giants. This is a legit win, Derek Piper, beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by the score of 20-19. What was your feeling after this game? You had to be, I know you were because I saw a lot of your tweets. You had to be fired up after that win.
I was a little bit in disbelief. You go down 13-0 and the offense looks putrid. Nick Foles is missing a lot of throws. You're like, this is going to go south real quick. We start 3-1, and it's going to evaporate. But, yeah, that was a big game. That's a playoff team in Tampa, a team that has a chance to go deep. They were banged up, so it was a good opportunity for you with no Godwin, no O.J. Howard, obviously, for the rest of the year. But even Evans wasn't 100%.
Right.
And we talked a lot about the Bears having talented pieces on defense, but they needed to step up and be more dominant, especially up front with how much money Khalil Mack's getting. He had two sacks. Really should have been three. There was an obscene roughing the quarterback that took one away.
Oh.
He really put his stamp on that game, made Tom Brady uncomfortable. And the Bucs just had opportunities they didn't capitalize on. They got deep into Chicago's territory, settled for field goals. At the very end of the game, Nick Foles made a big throw to the sideline to Montgomery, and again, you don't apologize for winning football games. No. You got to get better output from Foles, but I think just the chemistry overall, you saw a talk with Nagy on the sidelines about Foles wanted to go hurry up. Nagy kind of took that away from him. But I think that's just something that's going to continue to build, and hopefully the defense continues to play at a really good level.
Well, and this defense, with what they did and what they're doing now and what we know that they're capable of doing, sometimes you only need maybe that serviceable quarterback to also win games. Now, you know that you're going to need something bigger than that when the playoffs roll around. And, of course, I guess Nick Foles did win a Super Bowl with the Eagles, so he's got that ability. But certainly when you look at this Bears defense and it starts humming like it should, and this is against a, like you said, banged-up Tampa team, but still a Tampa team that is can score quick, and Bruce Arians has always been an offensive mind, so he's a guy that is very creative on that end. When you see the Bears do that, it really gives you hope that that can continue all season, and that's the thing, right? It's not, in other words, a fluke thing. That's the one thing that is a certain with Chicago is the defense, and if that unit is going to play like that, that's something that can carry you guys to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it was the biggest key in 2018. Let's not forget that Mitch Trubisky was your quarterback on a 12-4 team.
Incredible.
And that wasn't just super fluky. Your defense led the league in turnovers and overall just dominated. So that's something that's going to have to really be what you lean on. And that's what we all expected about the Chicago Bears. And you have coming up the Panthers, the Rams, the Saints, the Titans. Some formidable opponents, good offenses that they're going to have to show up and hold them down. But at the same time, you just need more consistency out of Foles. I think that's one thing, and we've talked about it before. He hasn't been a consistent starter. There's probably reason for that. His ceiling and when he's playing well is so much higher than Mitch Trubisky.
Agree.
But he has a floor that I wouldn't say is as low, but when he's missing throws, you'll see a lot of the same struggles that we saw in that Colts game and at times in the Bucs game. Comparable to what a Trubisky-led offense looks like, too.
I feel like we've rolled back fantasy football about 6 or 7 years because Jimmy Graham now is a weapon. How big is that? I mean, how unexpected? I'll ask both you guys. Let's be honest. That's unexpected because Jimmy Graham in his day was really good, but then that was with New Orleans. Then he goes and plays with Aaron Rodgers, who we've always laughed about that I could probably catch six balls a game from Rodgers only because he'd throw it right in my gut. But Jimmy Graham didn't do much there. And then the Bears make this deal for him that was really criticized, honestly, for the amount of money they gave him for 2 years. And look what he's been doing. I mean, Jimmy Graham has shown up for you guys.
Yeah, I got to give some credit, obviously, to Ryan Pace. We torched him. We torched him for giving Jimmy Graham $9 million a year this late into his career. And he was coming off 2 seasons in Green Bay where he had 5 total touchdowns. He now has 4 touchdowns in 5 games with the Bears, one more to match 2 full seasons with Aaron freaking Rodgers.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, Jimmy looks healthy, too. Mm-hmm. He looks healthy. He's moving well. He's a very good red zone target. Someone that really can just body up a corner or a safety whoever's matched up against and go up and get the ball. And it's been very encouraging to have that.
So when you watch this and you see the Bears go to 4-1, how much more confident are you now that you can compete for this division? Are you still worried that Green Bay, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is at peak form right now, it seems. Well, not peak form, but you know what I mean. He's playing at a really high level again and doing what he does. And you know the struggles the Bears have against Aaron Rodgers in general. But does that give you pause to think, you know what? Maybe we do have enough to maybe win this division.
I'd still maintain that it would take a Rodgers injury or a Davante Adams extended absence to keep the Packers from winning the division.
That's fair.
Adams missed the game against the Falcons on Monday night with a hamstring issue. If that prolongs and he's not 100%, I think then the Bears could take over that opportunity. But just eye test right now, the way that Rodgers is playing, they're a step ahead of Chicago. And the Packers still got to prove it against some better opponents themselves. But that would still be my lean. But, of course, to be in the mix, to be 4-1 and have a chance, I don't know. We see injuries all the time. Yeah. If Adams goes down, all of a sudden, Chicago's got a really good chance.
I was confused waking up Sunday morning with the news, of course, of the one game that was being canceled and one game being moved and then another game being moved. And I sat there thinking, I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. Who's not playing today? And basically Adam Schefter was popping up every 2 seconds saying, this is happening, this is happening. So it's just, we're running into a little bit of a issue, if you will.
Getting a little messy.
Getting a little messy, but certainly the league played on. And Trevor, are you ready to roll with introducing these games? And we'll sit here and visit about them as we go. Let me give you a little music here. Boom. All right, we're going to start with Lante's Arizona Cardinals.
I always find it kind that you do that for me.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's nice of you.
You know, start with the area teams, even though it's not an area team.
Right.
Formerly an area team.
That close Glendale, Arizona.
Cardinals 30, Jets 10. Joe Flacco didn't have it. Not sure anybody thought he would.
Mm.
And the Cardinals win by 20. I did not watch a second of this game.
Okay, I did, obviously. It was funny because Joe Flacco, they came out in the pregame, and he basically, they were talking. They had a shot of him on the sidelines, and they said, Joe Flacco said that he will never take for granted again starting an NFL game. He's really excited, and he wants to show that not only can he come in and compete, but that he can be a starter in the NFL. The first play, they run a bootleg. The guy is wide open, and he throws it behind him by about a yard or two. And I'm like, Joe, you're not there anymore, buddy. Look, the Jets are horrible. Horrendous. Arizona got a little bit of some mojo going, which was nice. They've got a couple of injuries that are really popping up on the defensive side. But this is a game you should win. The Jets might not win a football game.
They look really, really strong in the let's tank for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh.
That's the only thing they look strong at.
Yes.
They're absolutely horrendous.
They're terrible. Terrible.
And we got a peek at Joe Flacco last year starting a game for Denver. Looked pretty awful.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it to look good. They put 10 points on a, no offense, not very good Arizona Cardinals defense.
No, not at all. Not when the Panthers were just running wild on you last week doing whatever they had to do and, what, punted once? So, look, it was a game the Cardinals had to do. They needed to win that game. They did go east and win, which was nice. And they're 3-2, and now you got the Cowboys on Monday night. So I'll take the win. I'm excited. A win is a win, right?
Decent opportunity coming up against obviously, Andy Dalton-led Cowboys team. Big game against Seattle and the Dolphins.
Yeah. I will still kick myself for the Detroit game. I can handle going to Carolina and losing. Losing at home to Detroit is the one you're going to look back in the end when the Cardinals missed the playoffs by one game, and you're going to say, really? Detroit. Oh, well. It is what it is.
That's fair. Jets 0-5.
Yeah.
Falcons 0-5. Panthers 23, Falcons 16. Dan Quinn fired, I believe,
pretty much immediately after the game.
Yeah. Pretty much immediately after the game.
And the GM.
And the GM.
Oh, really?
They're clearing house in Atlanta. Panthers plus 2.5 was my lock of the week. Panthers do cover and win 23-16.
I didn't see much of this game, but I thought I saw a stat that said Matt Ryan has now gone 24 consecutive quarters without throwing a touchdown pass. Is that right? That can't be right. I mean, it doesn't even seem possible with guys like Julio and Ridley. And
he threw one against Chicago, none against Green Bay, none against Carolina. So one in the last three games.
Okay, maybe there was, I misread the stat or something. But yeah, so
probably been that long since he's thrown one to Julio.
Maybe that's what it was. I mean, Atlanta should have beaten the Falcons or the Cowboys, of course, and messed that up. It was time for a shift there. Isn't it weird how Atlanta was that team that you just felt on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl? They get there, they don't win it. And now they've just gone on an absolute nosedive from there. Carolina just keeps winning. Teddy Bridgewater, good for him, man. He's revitalized his career after that horrible injury, and he looks good for that Carolina team.
Yeah, it's a pretty good situation with their weapons. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson continues to have a very good year. If you have him in fantasy,
I dropped him.
You dropped him.
What? I had him and then dropped him.
Oh,
and I know.
Jeez. we'll move on from that one. I thought the Panthers would struggle a little bit more without McCaffrey, but Mike Davis is having a heck of a year,
yes,
even as a pass catcher out of the backfield. While we're on running backs real quick, Todd Gurley, my guy, 121 and a touchdown. He is a top 10 running back, my friends, in fantasy football currently. Don't say I told you.
How do you pick? How do you pick there?
For an 0-5.
Yep,
what is the
that's all I got.
What's Carolina's record?
3-2.
They're 3-2. Okay.
I believe it was Brock Huard, who's the analyst on this game, said that he thought Carolina looked like the most fundamentally sound coached team he's seen all year.
Really? And that's Matt Rhule?
Yeah, in terms of the coaching. He really liked it. So,
well, Rhule's a defensive guy, right? I mean, he loves his defense. And certainly that's something Carolina's always hung their hat on throughout their existence in the NFL. It seemed like they always had good defenses. So, yeah, I mean, imagine Christian McCaffrey going down and now all you do is win. And then you know you're going to get him back eventually. So they got to be feeling good in Carolina.
One more quick note on Atlanta. Matt Ryan looks completely washed.
Yeah.
If you're Trevor Lawrence, you want the Falcons to go in 16. Because you at least have some weapons there.
That's a good point. Instead of the
Jets.
Well, and I did see the word that the Jets were looking like we would trade Sam Darnold and draft Trevor Lawrence. And, of course, I mean, Arizona did that with Josh Rosen and got Kyler Murray, and they're happy they did that.
Poor Trevor. I wish I could remember who tweeted. They said it's like the beginning of a horror movie when you know what's going to happen to the person and you feel bad for them, but they don't know it yet. To see Lawrence bawling out right now, but then knowing that he's just going to be drafted into complete obscurity as a New York Jet.
I guess he could pull a John Elway and a Eli Manning and say, I'm not going there. But I don't know. That'd be tricky. All right.
What I'm saying is feel bad for all the Trevors in your life.
Oh.
Rams 30.
Got it.
Washington 10. Another game I did not watch a second of.
Same.
Rams easily covered after looking a little shaky against the Giants last week and not covering. They go on the road and take care of Washington. Alex Smith did get in the game at quarterback for Washington.
For him.
And, of course, he almost had his leg literally cut off his body because of that injury a few years ago. So he did play after Allen went out of the game with an injury.
If you haven't seen the special ESPN did on Alex Smith and him getting through that injury, it's incredible. And it's incredible that that dude even wants to put the pads back on and go out. After what happened to him and what all he went through, that is some character right there. With Washington, I'm starting to... Don't you just feel like there's some really bad teams in the NFL?
They're terrible.
I mean, usually we talk about parity, and that's kind of the thing that you like. Well, I guess unless you don't like parity. I've always loved parity, and so I always liked the NFL for that. And I know on the top end maybe you're getting that a little bit. But with Kansas City, and I know they lost, we'll get to them. But with their dominance and with so many bad teams, it's almost like we're getting away from parity right now in the NFL a little bit. Washington's
That's a
bad.
Good point. And we got those that maybe got fooled week one by Washington beating Philly and saying, oh, Washington's decent, they're going to go to Arizona.
There's
and
no doubt.
They're not.
No.
Dwayne Haskins is terrible. Kyle Allen was really bad. Alex Smith, love the resolve. It's a cool story.
It is.
I do question why. Why do you need to come back when you're going to go in for Washington your first game back? You almost lost your leg. You took 3 sacks. Your QBR was 3 out of 100.
Just retire.
Have enough money. Just go chill, dude.
Alex Smith has made a lot of money. Can we effort that? The net worth of Alex Smith, because he signed when he was playing with Kansas City, and then where did he go after that?
It was Washington.
Was it? Okay.
That's where he had the injury.
He signed a big deal, right, with Washington. So he's living on that contract now, but I'm with you, man. Oh.
Looks like 56 mil.
Okay. That's enough to just kind of chill.
Yeah.
I mean.
For sure.
Now, he has not won a Super Bowl, right?
No.
Okay. He was on some good Chiefs teams, and a lot of fans were like, why is Alex Smith our quarterback? He doesn't do anything. And it's like, well, he doesn't do anything wrong. Didn't the one year he never threw a touchdown to a wide receiver?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Think about that. In 16 games in the NFL.
And he was good.
It
wasn't like he was QB30 in the NFL that year.
And never threw a touchdown to a wide receiver.
Now, this says he's $160
million. That makes more sense.
First one said.
That makes more sense.
Even more reasons to chill.
What would the betting line be on Alex Smith not throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver all season? Give me $5 on that one to win $16,000. That would be kind of cool.
Wow, 5 to win 16,000. Where are you getting that line?
Well, that would have been the odds on that.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine any starting quarterback in the NFL if they said, all right, he's going to go 16 games without throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver? That's near impossible.
That can't happen.
You're right.
It just seems impossible, but oh well. All right. That's enough. Oh, we didn't even mention the Rams. Rams look good. Right?
Yeah.
Washington.
They're 4-1 too.
Yeah. Man, it's sucks to be in the NFC West, and it's great to be in the NFC East, where if you're 1-3-1, you're still leading the division, I think.
How bad has Haskins been, considering they started Allen, then Allen gets hurt, and they'd rather have a guy who almost had his leg amputated throw than Haskins? I mean, jeez.
Who is leading that division? The Cowboys now?
Yeah, 2-3.
2-3 without Dak leading that division.
Yep.
Oh,
could that be the worst playoff team ever, as long you would know?
Yeah.
7-9.
Yep.
Cardinals in 2000, what was that, 11?
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks also were 7-9 one year.
Yes, that was the NFC West was that brutal back then.
Right. So could we have our first ever 6-10 team in Dallas or Philly?
I think that's probably very...
6-9-1 Eagles.
Yeah, there you go.
Just to be stupid and
hosting,
weird.
Mind you.
That's right.
Hosting a game in the playoffs.
And keep in mind, we add a team to each to each side of the playoffs this year as well.
That's crazy. Now, Lindy, who we're going to get to his Raiders one of these days, he did say that Haskins was not active for this game.
Right, but I mean, it was healthy inactive, right?
It was a convenient stomach flu on Sunday where he wasn't at the
Without that knowledge, I'm watching Alex Smith like, you know, he's nervous to walk out there.
Right.
I'm thinking, is Haskins really not better than this? But
they said that Haskins was going to be number three. So Smith was the next one in to get the call.
I had a stomach flu on Saturday, I think, after my 50th birthday on Friday. Actually, I was the older you get, you just calm down, I think. That's exactly what happens. All right. We still have a lot more games to go.
Tell them getting the ugly ones out of the way
in
this first half of it.
Because in the second half, which would be next hour, we're going to get to some of the better games that took place. We got to take a quick break, though. We're back. It's the Drive.
Long's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of four light truck tires, you get $120 credit. So go on to Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
What if you could buy groceries and help those in need at the same time? By shopping at Salt and Light Urbana, you partner with us in helping people right here in our community while also shopping local. Our unique model creates opportunities for folks to get the food, clothing, and other resources their family needs through volunteering. This affirms their dignity, confirms the skills, gifts, and abilities they have, equipping and empowering them in the process. Our participants earn store credit for every hour they volunteer, whether it is a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, a pair of shoes, or a warm winter coat. Our folks get what they need without the cost of their dignity. What our participants thank us for most is not the stuff they get, but for the opportunity to work, the opportunity to contribute. Regularly buying some of your groceries at Salt and Light Urbana will help others to feed their families while you feed yours. Salt and Light. Shop, donate, change lives. For details, more information, visit saltandlightministry.org.
Chad Burnett, also resource officer, Urbana Police Department. You're at the high school. How has that changed?
Kids get older. Obviously, they're more set in their ways. But, you know, I try to be present in the hallways. I try to be present in the cafeteria while I'm there. Smile, say hello. And you'd be surprised the amount of kids that will actually come up and talk to you and have the interaction with you. And I just want to continue that and develop that and alleviate some of those fears that they may have of the police.
Why do you want to do this, Chad?
It's important. Youth today, you know, they have an apprehension and a fear of police. I think it's important that we break that down, establish that in the school so it carries back over to the street. I think it makes our officers more presentable to youth when they're on the street. And I think as the same, youth, you know, we work with them. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to build those relationships. It's going to be a better thing for both sides.
Why did you want to be a police officer?
I think being a police officer, it gave me an opportunity to help people. That's a pretty general answer, but it's the truth.
Wrapping up hour one, we were just talking some college football off the air, and I started laughing. I'm like, why don't we do this on the air? People might want to hear that. Yeah, we are going to hear from Lovie Smith and Trayvon Sidney next hour. They met today on some Zoom with media, and Illinois found out today they will start the season on a Friday night. So not this coming Friday, but the next Friday. 13 days. I should know. I don't do math.
You might be on it with 11.
I think it's 11 days. So Illinois will start at Madison 7 p.m. on a Friday night. So that'll be the opener for Illinois. So we'll hear from Lovie. We'll hear from Trayvon Sidney about that. In fact, Lovie talks about starting on a Friday. So we'll hear that next hour. College football, man.
It's a wild day.
There's some weird stuff
Texas
going on this
Oklahoma
year.
Oklahoma was a crazy game. Very good game.
Who won that?
Oklahoma in overtime.
Okay.
Four overtimes.
So they're off the schneid?
Yes.
Now, you should have followed Lon with his picks because he was pretty darn good. The only one I picked against you guys and won was North Carolina.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But Lon advised Clemson, big spot for Clemson to show out. And I was like, no, I'll be the sucker to take Miami plus 14. They get hammered. Tennessee is up at halftime. They were plus 12. Lon recommended Georgia. Georgia outscores them 27-0 in the second half.
And I did everything opposite of what I said on the air. I sat here right after we finished that. I sat right outside our studio and placed all my wagers for the Saturday college games and lost every one of them.
LSU relocates to Missouri because of the hurricane and loses outright when they're a 14-point favorite.
What is that? What is Missouri's coach's name? Stinkhausen or something?
Dierkiewicz? Drinkiewicz?
No, okay. Drinkiewicz. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
I like Stinkhauser better,
though. Oh, man.
Florida hadn't gotten stopped all day long, has the ball with 4 minutes left at midfield. They fumble. A&M gets a field goal to win.
Wow.
Just crazy. Underdog, double-digit underdogs, I believe, are 40-15 against the spread so far this year.
Wow, that's that one, I forgot. That's the really loud one.
Do we have an early line for Illinois-Wisconsin? Maybe I can effort that over the break.
Do we? I mean, we should feel better about Illinois with everything that's happening in college football right now. I still feel pretty good about Illinois.
There's also an interesting nugget about the location of the game that we might have to get into if it continues.
Really?
That is an incredible tease because I don't even know this. We'll talk about that next hour. Let's do it. It's The Drive. Hey. Hey.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.